So the scriptures tell us that this body, mind and intellect are your equipments. You are actually that immortal self. Each one of us is that immortal spirit. We are all part of that one consciousness occupying this body, mind and intellect. And meditation is abiding in that self. Abiding because the Lord within me, being one with Him, abiding in Him, that is meditation. How about prayer? When you pray to a particular form of the Lord, that is not meditation. Prayer is good. They're not saying that one shouldn't pray, but prayer is helps to quieten the mind, and then with that quiet mind, you can go inward in meditation. How about chanting the name of the Lord, you know, doing the rosary? That is also good, but that is also leads to meditation. Meditation is something you can do anywhere, at any time, even though we require that you should sit 20 minutes or 30 minutes every day in a particular posture, but it can be done anytime you go inward and become one with the self. You are in meditation, and the realized masters are all the time in meditation because they all the time experience the Lord's presence. So, and what is my nature? I am of the nature of bliss, and I'm permanent because the self in me is permanent. Even this body may perish, but if I realize that I am the self, and I don't perish. The body may perish, the mind may change, the intellect may get confused, but I, the self, will always remain. So then people say, how do I abide in the self? You know, so they say, don't do anything. In meditation, they say, don't do anything, just be quiet. And we think it is impossible not to do anything. Plus, we think that not to do anything means being lazy. You know, there's a person who doesn't do anything, he's worthless. So we are not saying that don't do anything throughout the day, but while you are in meditation for the 20 or 30 minutes, don't do anything. So how not to do? Today we shall kind of introduce the subject, but then next week we'll talk in more detail about what meditation is and how through meditation you can go into the absence. So verse number 7. Kriyashila sada jivaha. Kriyashila sada jivaha. Statum shaknoti natmani. Statum shaknoti natmani. Akarma tastatav proktaha. Tatatav proktaha. Vidhir dhyanasya yogi bihi. Dhyanasya yogi bihi. So kriyashila sada jiva. So we are all taught from childhood that you have to do. You know, you don't just sit there. You know, they'll say, don't just stand there, do something. But we say, don't just do something, stand there. And that is considered as, you know, this person is worthless, he's lazy. So from childhood, we are encouraged, the more you do, a person who can do 2-3 things at one time, you know, he can drive and talk on the phone and answer his email is very smart, you know, and people do that. Or you know, in a person who can multitask in the office or who can multitask at home, we say, oh, he's very intelligent. So from childhood, we become, so he says, kriyashil sada jiva sthatum shaknoti na atmani. So he cannot abide in the self. He cannot sit still and do nothing. You say in meditation, do nothing? What do you mean? I thought meditation, you sit down and do this. And you say, no, do nothing. Yeah, but we find it very hard. You sit down and you tell the mind to stop, the mind start racing. You tell the body to stop and then you get an itch somewhere or you get a little pain or you get... So how am I to do nothing? So that's why the yogis told us how through action to lead to actionlessness. So what is the practice of doing nothing? The yogis have taught us. But what happens is that most of us are overactive, very hyper, you know, always wanting to do this, do that. If we have nothing else to do, we'll just pick up the phone and surf the net or, you know, get on the computer and or just chat with somebody or go on Facebook, Twitter, all these people waste so much time on all this. I'm also equally guilty. But I mean, more and more this social media is taking over our life, and we don't have a moment of stillness. They say, just sit down in your backyard and just watch the trees. And they say, what is that? You never heard of that. Nobody, nobody does that anymore these days, where you sit and do nothing. And that is very, very important. You have to take out time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day. Just go to Hart Park and just sit under the trees, watch the river flow. Or just even in your backyard, just watch the birds and the flowers, or watch the moon or the sun. We just don't have time. We are always doing something, doing. Reminds me of this boy. He was so hyperactive. He very, very overactive. And not only that, but he was very destructive. Any toy his father or mother would buy him, he would break it. Within a day or two, the toy would be broken. Most expensive toys. So they got frustrated, you know, what to do. So father went and brought him a wooden, unbreakable, very strong toy. Said, play with this. So what did he do? With that unbreakable toy, he broke everything else in the house. The TV, the glass door, the mirror. That's how we are. So hyper. And other thing is, we are so restless. Oh, I have to move, I have to move. Talking about restless, you know that, you know what is a millisecond, right? Millisecond is 1,000th of a second. And then what is a nanosecond? Nanosecond is 1,000,000th of a second. 1,000,000th of a second is called a nanosecond. But you know what is that which is even shorter than a nanosecond? What is it? It is the interval between the light turning green and the guy behind you honking to move. We just don't have time, you know. We are always in a rush, always in a hurry. Come on, come on, come on. Rushing, overtaking, cutting people off, speeding on the freeway, working and over, you know, killing ourselves with work 14 hours, 16 hours a day. And they say, oh, he's a great karma yogi. Why? Oh, he can work 16 hours a day. That's not the sign of, you know, a successful person. A successful person is who can work a reasonable amount of time and get accomplished. Working 16 hours a day, you're just killing yourself. You're going to go earlier under the ground. So how not to do, and that is the biggest problem we have, how to slow down, how to, so that's what the scriptures tell us, that do one thing at a time. Take some time out every day, you know, for meditation. Take some quiet time every day. Read the scriptures. Do not, you know, multitask, but focus on one thing at a time and do it well. And that is the way to do it. And the sages understood that. They understood that we all are, in the, especially not only in this modern world, this I'm talking 8,000 years ago when this scriptures were written, 8,000, 10,000 years. Even then, I guess human beings must have been the same, even though life was much more quiet. There was no TV, computers, cell phones. But still, the human mind is always wants to do it. So they understood that the mind wants to do. So they said that we shall teach him how to become quiet even while doing something. How to do that. So there is one point I wanted to cover. One is you do something, and the second is you allow it to happen. One is that, you know, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to reach that. But that does not happen. Through meditation, you cannot reach the self. You cannot become one with God. You cannot realize. What we recommend is that you quieten the mind. And when that mind becomes quiet, it gets sucked in. It becomes automatically gets pulled in by the self, gets sucked in, becomes one with the Lord within. Just as, you know, when the spaceships went to the moon, what they first had to do was had to use these powerful booster rockets, you know, three-stage booster Titan or whatever they call it. And one, two, three rockets fired, and then the spaceship finally got out of the Earth's atmosphere, because the Earth's gravitation is so powerful. To get out of that, they needed very powerful boosters. So then once it got out of the Earth's gravity, then it was smooth, because in space there is no gravity. So it just smoothly kept on flying, flying, flying. And then when it gets close to the moon, when Armstrong and Aldrin and all, when they got close to the moon, then what happened was, then the moon's gravity pulled them. And the moon's gravity pulled them, even though it's 1/6 the gravity of the Earth, the moon's gravity pulled them and they gently landed on the moon. And that's when Armstrong said, one giant step for, you know, mankind and all that. So similarly, the mind has to get out of the objects, emotions, and thoughts, because that pull of the objects, emotions, and thoughts is very powerful. Our mind is all the time engaged in the world. And so I want to know, I want to hear, I want to do. So the pull of the objects is very powerful, it's very strong. So the mind, through effort, through meditation, has to free itself from the pull of the objects, emotions, and thoughts of the world. And then when the mind is becomes quiet, in that we'll talk more in detail next week, then the mind, when it becomes quiet, then the Lord pulls you to himself. The Lord within, the self, the consciousness, automatically pulls it. So once you get out of the pull of the objects, just as when you get out of the pull of the earth, the moon pulls you to itself. So similarly, as you get out of the pull of the objects, emotions, and thoughts, the mind automatically gets pulled in and becomes one with the Lord. And that is called meditation, where you then become one with the Lord within and you constantly stay in that experience. That is called meditation. So that is what the verse number 7 talks about.